Renewable Kerry on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Renewable Energy Ireland. Energy powered by nature.
Yeah, Renewable Kerry here. We're talking with Susan Doyle, who has a PhD in ecology, specialising in birds from UCD. She's working at MKO Research on an SEAI-funded project called ReHarrier, which focuses on the interaction between hen harriers and wind farms in Ireland. Susan, good morning to you and thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
This is a level of concern that's been there ever since the first wind turbine went up and the interaction between, I suppose, renewable energy infrastructure and nature and the effects on it. So what can you tell us about that level of interaction?
So hen harrier, there's kind of two things to be aware of about hen harrier in Ireland. Firstly, they're disappearing. So the last national census was conducted in 2022 and it found that as few as 85 pairs were left in the entire country. That's not even one pair for everybody in the audience. There's many factors that contribute to this. It's kind of too big a conversation to have today, but
yeah,
it's safe to say that if not addressed, these factors, the hen harrier will not be in Ireland anymore. It will go the same way as Ireland's other lost birds. For example, the corn bunting, which you've probably never heard of because it's been extinct since 1990s. The hen harrier could go the same way. The second thing to be aware of is that hen harriers are typically found in remote, open, upland and windy places. And the best place to build wind farms in Ireland is in remote, open and windy places. So this means that in Ireland, wind farms are often built in areas where hen harriers also occur. So it's kind of a confluence of the two big ecological crises of our time. On one hand, we have the climate crisis, that is global climate change due to human activity like burning fossil fuels. And Ireland is now trying to transition to renewable energy like wind farms to tackle this crisis. On the other hand, we have the biodiversity crisis. That's the rapid loss of plants and animals and habitats across the entire earth. So we don't want Ireland's transition to renewable energy to result in us losing any more of our.
So there's a delicate balance there and an emergency situation with regards to hen harriers. That's why we have the, I suppose, the conservation projects that are in place. What is the concern with wind farms? Do they affect hen harriers, wind turbines?
So every kind of development will have some impact on the birds and wildlife in the area it's built in. So that's what we're looking at in MKO Research in Galway. As you said, a project or a harrier is a four-year SEA-funded project. We want to understand how hen harrier interact with the wind farms and what are the biggest risks posed by wind farms to hen harrier. And this, the purpose of this is to allow for sensitive sighting of wind farms in the landscape and also sensitive designs of wind farms that can minimise any effects on wind on hen harrier. So we're also looking into ways that the sector can maybe contribute positively to conservation and maybe even one day the restoration of the hen harrier across Ireland.
Susan, you've been talking about the research you're doing. Is it possible to say what you've learned so far in this area?
So the research we're doing, a lot of it is based on programming and mapping software to create a nationwide map of what habitat in Ireland is suitable for hen harrier to nest, hunt and rest in. This is to help identify the best places to build wind farms that won't encroach on the hen harrier habitat that remains. So I'm afraid there's 1 year left to go in the project, so a lot of the research is still ongoing. But things we've become aware of as we're working through it is that there's a huge amount of data collected by environmental consultancies such as MKO. At MKO, we've collected over 4,000 observations and found 17 nesting territories of hen harrier in the last 10 years. And as I said a few minutes ago, if there's only about 85 pairs left in Ireland, 17 is quite a large proportion of that. So we would like to collate this data and make it available for research and conservation in bodies like the National Parks and Wildlife Service and any other interested researchers. We've also learned about many other methods for minimising the impact of wind farms on hen harrier in Europe and across the world. we've been looking at what they do for hen harrier in Europe itself and for other harrier species, such as black harrier and northern harrier in other continents around the world. So there are methods for minimizing impact, such as creating quality, you know, rushy fields or open heather at a suitable distance from wind farms that a hen harrier can safely live in. And in the future, we hope that some of these methods could be tried and tested at real wind farms in Ireland to see in practice, you know, how effective they really are.
Okay, so that's the picture you're trying to put together. And part of the answer may well be development of, and I know one of the impacts you've talked about, but others have talked about, is that the loss of natural habitat through forestry and farming can be farming changes. So to recreate that habitat, maybe even funded by the government, would be one way to go to try and re-encourage more development, more breeding, and to relieve the critical endangered kind of nature of them.
Yeah, displacement. From the literature and from the studies we've been doing, displacement appears to be the more significant of the risks posed to hen harrier. So when people think of wind farms, they often think about, say, collisions of birds with wind turbines, with the blades as they spin. But for hen harrier, due to its ecology, the way it lives, the way it hunts, it often hunts low to the ground. It isn't as vulnerable as other species, for example, if you picture big soaring eagles, it would be much more vulnerable. There is one time of year when harriers would be very vulnerable to collision, is during the courtship season, when they do these very elaborate courtship displays where they fly high in the sky and they sneak and they do a lot of loop-de-loops. That would be something to bear in mind about hen harrier, where they do these courtships. Would they be at risk if turbines were in those areas?
Yeah.
So Susan,
tell me the story in Kerry. Obviously, North Kerry in particular, heavy concentrations in as much as it is with the numbers that are left, but there are hen harriers in the county.
Yeah, the kingdom is actually one of the most important places in Ireland for hen harrier. There is a special protection area for hen harrier in Kerry. It's a bit of a mouthful, so it's called the Stacks to Mullagreath Mountains, West Limerick Hills and Mount Eagle Special Protection Area. And it's up in the North Kerry. Under the European Union directives, Ireland is obliged to create these special protection areas for hen harrier and to manage the land within them appropriately to support hen harrier. At the moment, these measures are currently concentrating on things that you mentioned before, traditional farming methods or using the current methods of farming and land use that are supporting hen harrier.
And that's all part of it. Would there be, obviously, you look at the concentration, there's places in North Kerry, as I said, parts of outside Tralee, some parts of East Kerry as well. High concentration in Munster of hen harriers, then the northwest of the country up in Donegal too. But would the idea be, even within Kerry, to try and create other places where they could thrive in South Kerry and West Kerry, that you know, there'd be options of providing that the right circumstances, shall we say, for them to move into and survive and breed?
Exactly. That's the ultimate goal of the project. So the hen harrier population has declined because of loss of habitat. If we wanted to grow again, we not only have to protect the few existing birds that remain, but we need to essentially make space for more birds to exist in the landscape. For example, in Ireland, hen harrier actually used to be very common in Wicklow, and now they're not present there at all. And it's kind of a question mark that even though there might be some areas of suitable habitat, hen harrier aren't actually there. And why is that? Those are the kind of knowledge gaps that NCO Research would like to fill. And as part of the project we're currently working on, it would be to use things like computer model simulations to find out where is that good habitat in Kerry and how can we preserve it for the harrier and how can we maybe make more of it in partnership with wind energy development.
Okay, how much longer does the research project go on for, Susan?
At least another 12 months. It'll be summer 2027 when we finish up.
Okay, and are we looking, like, is it possible to say, maybe it isn't, it like what's happened elsewhere with the white-tailed sea eagle and with the golden eagle in this country, would there be a reintroduction program perhaps maybe considered?
So the introduction can be very species specific. Some species don't actually take very well to reintroduction, and some species do. So for white-tailed eagle and osprey that have been recently brought back into Ireland, there were no birds left at all, and they, the white-tailed eagle were actually brought from Norway and released into the country. Whereas hen harrier is slightly different in that they currently do still exist. So if we were to help the population now, it might be able to regrow itself without actually having to bring in birds from abroad. But as a last resort, reintroductions would have to be considered if you've lost all of your birds or lost so many birds that the new left wouldn't fill up the whole country again.
I'm not
sure how well hen harrier can be reintroduced. It hasn't been tried a lot of times, but it's something that needs to research to look at.
And that makes it all the more important to protect the ones that we have in place already.
Yeah, it's much, much better to keep what you have rather than trying to bring them in from other countries, because it can be notoriously difficult.
Okay, Susan, listen, look, we're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for telling us about that project and the work and the interaction of hen harriers and wind farms. That's Susan Doyle there working for MKO Research on a Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland funded project called RE Harrier, focusing on interaction between hen harriers and wind farms in Ireland. Thanks for talking to me, Susan, and we'll see where that one goes. And just needless to say, if you ever come across a hen harrier, if you're out walking on a moorland area or upland area, try not to disturb them, and certainly not to disturb their nest. They nest on the ground, and as Susan was saying, they're absolutely crucial that the ones we have, the 87 pairs left, are maintained and developed and not disturbed further. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme this morning. Just a couple of comments to finish up. A caller will be changing his car next year and will be opting for full electric, he says. I was asking based on that email we got from Kate about the, what she says, the spike in interest on second-hand electric cars as a result of the current fuel crisis. Another listener says, why do petrol pumps display their prices, for example, as 181.89? What's the idea behind that? Why don't they round it up to 182? You know, I don't know the answer to that. Normally, it's 181.99 is what it would be, but I take your point. Why isn't it just, maybe it's a marketing thing or something? I'm not sure. We'll have to get to the bottom of that one. Well done to Lelia Doolin for her protest work. Another listener says, what amazing woman Lelia is, and it's such a peaceful protest, getting the message across without preventing others from getting on with their daily lives. Another caller was out with her grandchildren on Ballybunion Beach over Easter and found two mermaid purses. That's based on the brilliant work of the kids of Acushla National School.